Chapter 15. Portal! I shouted as I spun around to see where it was. The soldiers were clearly well rehearsed for the event, as every one of them jumped into action and ran across the base grounds toward the noise. I raced back to my motorbike, and the girls did the same as we looked out to see the portal open at the other side of the base, where we had entered from. As the opening widened, we could see a green landscape, and then a long-necked dinosaur appeared through the portal. It was a dark gray sauropod, and as it lifted its leg into our world, I could tell it was one of the biggest dinosaurs we had seen so far.
Holy shit!
Becca yelled as our motorbikes tore down the tarmac.
It's huge! But what is it?
Looks like an herbivore,
Haywan replied. That won't stop it from trampling us, I said. The enormous dinosaur stepped onto the airbase, and to my horror, I saw two more necks emerge from the portal. As the two new arrivals crashed into our world, a fourth appeared just behind them as the portal started to close. Soldiers had already started to fire at the first dinosaurs, and I could see that the creatures were terrified. They swung their huge necks around as they reared up on their back feet and stomped down with a force that shook the whole area. As the final dino made its way through to join the herd, the portal shut with a pop, and we were left with four massive, long-necked creatures in the middle of the RAF base. Two soldiers appeared on motorbikes from the main building, and the emergency siren began to sound. The ear-piercing noise only agitated the giant dinosaurs even more, and they began to bellow at each other.
"They're going to stampede!" I yelled at the girls. "We need to drive them out, not kill them! If they keel over inside the wall, this entire place will be crushed!"
The soldiers stood under the herbivores and shot upwards with their assault rifles, but the bullets seemed to make little difference to the huge beasts. The huge beasts yelped each time they were hit, but it was like ants on my foot, and the big dinos didn't seem to be taking any life-threatening wounds.
"It's time for a roundup," I said. "Hey, Juan, tell the guard to open the gate. Becca, you help me spread the word to the soldiers. Tell them to stop shooting and start rounding."
Haywan sped off toward the entrance of the airbase. I watched her weave her way through the mass of giant's legs and shooting soldiers, and I sighed in relief when she made it through unscathed.
"Hey!" I yelled at the young man who had searched me. "Shooting is just making them angry! We need to chase them out of here or they'll crush the planes!"
"How?"
the soldier asked as he took another failed shot at the dinos. "Do you have any more of those motorcycles?" I asked.
"If you can get as many soldiers on them as possible, we can drive them toward the door. See how the dinosaurs are trying not to step on the motorbikes? I think the noise scares them."
"You don't give orders," the soldier growled.
"Do what he says, Evans,"
the large man who had guarded the CO's office barked. He appeared on a motorbike beside me and had so many guns on his torso it was hard to count.
"They aren't trying to hurt us," I said. "Not on purpose. So if we can get rid of them, then they won't come back looking for a fight. Haywan is getting the gate open, and once she does, we need to drive them out with the motorbikes, just like sheep."
There was a scream as another round of bullets pierced one of the dino's necks, and it jumped in fright, then landed with its feet directly onto one of the soldiers. The noise of a human being crushed into tarmac is not something I'll forget in a hurry. The crunch and squelch were enough to bring bile into my throat, and there wasn't much left of the soldier when the dino's foot came back up.
"Good Lord," the large soldier said. "Okay, son, the name's Barnes. Share with me whatever knowledge you have of these things."
Barnes grabbed a radio from his belt and threw it at me. I caught it and made sure the volume was turned up. "When the other motorbikes come, we get them all out," I said as I clipped the radio onto my belt. "For now, we need to just keep them as close to the exit as we can." Just as I spoke, the most injured of the dinosaurs made a break from the others and tore down the runway toward the back of the base. As it ran, its front feet knocked into one of the huts and crushed a white tent in seconds.
"Keep the others where they are," I said to Barnes. "Becca, let's go and get the runaway."
The blonde nodded, and we both spun our motorbikes around and tore down the right side of the building to meet the dino at the other end. We soared down the tarmac past a few traumatized-looking soldiers, who I suspected were new recruits, and swept around a tumbled jeep.
"What do we do?"
Becca shouted as we neared the end of the black hangar where the long neck of the dino flailed about over the roof from the other side.
"Let's try and guide it back," I said. "Maybe if we hit a hard left after the building, we can stop it before it reaches the plains."
As we reached the end of the building,
We turned to the left and weaved between the large planes to reach the runway. The dino screeched as we pulled up in front of it and raised its front legs in the air. "Careful!" I shouted as we watched the creature stomp the ground near us. Our motorbikes vibrated with the force as its feet pummeled the ground, but we managed to stay on our rides. The tactic wasn't flawless, but we were definitely slowing the dino down, at least. It had stopped its run, and instead it looked like it couldn't decide where to go. I revved my engine in the hopes that the creature would back away, and it seemed to work. The sauropod started to turn back to face the front of the army base. Its long neck dripped with blood from the pinprick bullet wounds, and I could tell it had started to lose strength.
"Poor thing,"
Becca said.
"It didn't mean any harm."
"I think we need to back up," I said, as the creature turned its huge body. "That tail is going to whip around in our direction, and I don't think we'll be able to jump over it."
"That would be a dangerous game of skipping rope,"
Becca agreed. We quickly turned around to put some distance between us and the large tail. I heard a crash, and when I spun my motorbike around, I saw the dinosaur's tail swipe into one of the planes. The aircraft was crushed under the weight of the tail, and then was flung into the plane beside it. The second aircraft wasn't a total loss, but the left side wing bent backwards like a broken arm. I heard the sound of engines starting up and saw five more military motorbikes speed down the tarmac from the back of the base. I nodded to Becca, and we started to follow behind the injured dinosaur as it stumbled toward its herd. "Barnes," I said as I held down the button on my radio. "We're heading your way with the final dino. Just make sure everyone knows to get them through the gates. No shooting unless absolutely necessary." It felt odd giving an Air Force official orders, but I guess I was highly experienced in dino warfare by now, and it was a pretty niche skill. Barnes didn't even argue, just acknowledged the order, and then I saw the other three dinos turn toward the gate as well. The other giants moved quickly toward the exit, and they arrived just ahead of us. I saw Haywan and the other motorbike riders circle behind the herbivores and slowly force them forward to the gates. One of the dinos bellowed again, which seemed to be a signal to the rest to follow it as it neared the gate. The injured herbivore had almost reached the rest of its companions, but it had slowed to a walk and suddenly seemed unbothered by the flurry of motorcycles around its feet. "I think it's dying," I said, as Becca and I slowed our motorbikes behind it. "It's not going to make it out."
"It could crush all the planes if it falls,"
Becca said.
"Maybe we should just shoot it and try to aim so it falls on the fence instead of the planes."
"That's too risky. We need to get it further back. There aren't any buildings near the fence, so if it falls there, it'll cause the least damage." "Barnes," I said through the radio, "we need more motorbikes behind the injured one. We need to drive it back or it's going to crush everything." In a split second, we heard motorbikes approach us, and two soldiers skidded to a halt next to me. "Rev your engines," I shouted. "Drive into the backs of its feet to make it walk forward." I slammed my front wheel into the dino's thick heel, and the creature flinched before it raised a giant foot and took a step forward. I saw the soldiers use my tactic on the dino's front feet, and I grinned as the giant beast shuffled forward.
"It's working!"
Becca cried as she mirrored my movements with the opposite foot. We took it in turns to drive our motorbikes into the dinosaur's feet, and each time we did it, the creature would shuffle forward with a moan. We were almost past the building, but its steps became shorter, and the deep groans became quieter. "One final push! We're almost there!" I could see through the injured creature's legs that two of the other beasts had been successfully herded out of the army base. Haywan and another rider were using our same tactic on the third dino, and eventually all three of the other long-necked creatures had made their way out of the army base. "It's going to fall any second," I said, as the final injured dino started to sway. It had cleared most of the nearby buildings, but the dino's huge tail still sat next to the main storage space. We tried to ram it a couple more times, but the giant dino couldn't even lift its legs anymore.
"Out of the way!" I heard Barnes yell.
Motorbikes sped away while those on foot ran after them. It was hard to tell which way the giant was going to collapse, but it took one final step and fell forward. Its long neck fell through the open gate, but its enormous body blocked most of the runway. "It's dead," I said, as the dinosaur's body shuddered and then fell still. "Rest in peace, and thanks for not trying to eat us."
"It worked,"
Haywan said, as she drove over to us.
"Great tactic, Jason. How do you always know what to do?"
I honestly don't, I shrugged. I just make it up as I go. But I think I'm getting the hang of this life.
Well, shit,
Barnes said as he pulled up on his motorbike in front of us and looked at the giant carcass. Have you ever had a portal open up here before? I asked.
Not directly inside the base. We've been lucky so far. Had a few flying intruders, but that's the first portal to appear inside the walls. We had hoped that maybe this space was immune to them somehow.
I don't think anywhere is safe at the moment, I said. I wonder if whoever's behind this can choose where the portals appear.
Whoever is behind this? Barnes asked suspiciously. What do you mean by that?
Nothing. I cleared my throat. Just a thought I had back when this all started. But I'm a little sleep-deprived, so sometimes I just blurt things out.
Right,
Barnes said as he studied my face.
Well, thanks for your help, Yank. Without you, we probably would have gunned down the lot. We've never exactly run training for this kind of event, but generally we just shoot to kill with these creatures and hope for the best.
Some of the planes got hit, I said. The bigger ones around the back. We tried to guide the dino, but its tail caused some damage.
At least the aircrafts inside survived, Barnes said. Now we have to figure out how to clean up this mess.
Can you airlift it?
Becca asked.
Not with the aircrafts we have left, Barnes sighed. Even when we had our full fleet, lifting something this heavy would have been a push. We've lost about half our planes and all of our helicopters trying to fight these creatures off.
We all stared at the dead beast for a moment.
Maybe chop it up?
Haywan offered.
If you can get it into smaller pieces, you can carry it easier. Gross, but true,
Becca agreed.
Although the smell could attract others.
This one's smell will attract attention regardless, I said. Even without chopping it up, something big and more bloodthirsty will get a whiff of it soon enough. Haywan might be right, although I really don't envy whoever takes on that job.
I caught a couple of my men stealing rations, Barnes said. Maybe dino chopping duty would be a suitable punishment.
Remind me never to steal from you, I laughed. I'm sorry about the man you lost.
It's getting more common every day,
Barnes sighed, with a glance at the bloody blob where a man used to be.
We've been struggling with signals, so there are a few families that we haven't been able to contact to deliver the news to. Bloody awful state of affairs.
We've had the same problems with the signal, I said. We're actually on our way to Becca's mom. We heard from her a few weeks ago, but haven't managed to be in contact since, so that's been our mission.
We need to get that gate shut, Barnes said. That big neck means the doorway is wide open for visitors. I guess we better find the chainsaws.
Grim, I said. Have you had many people trying to break in here?
A good few, Barnes replied. Most are harmless enough. Just desperate people looking for shelter. They always get instructed to move along, and most do. You get the odd one who thinks they're tough, and the ones who act tough rarely are.
There's plenty of houses nearby,
Becca said.
If you look hard enough, there's normally always somewhere to set up camp.
That's what we tell them, the soldier sighed. It seems heartless, but if we have any chance of getting rid of these things for good, we need our weapons in the hands of soldiers. We can't protect the people if we don't have supplies.
How are you doing for weaponry? I asked. We're kind of running low on ammo.
We're doing okay, Barnes said. But we need to be careful. It won't last forever. We might be able to spare you something for your trip.
We would really appreciate it, I said, as the soldiers on motorbikes returned through the gate. We should head back to the commander's office and turn this briefcase over. Did he come out during all this?
No, Barnes said. After the last one, the commander doesn't come out for the dinosaur appearances. Not all of them, anyway. I'll show you into the office.
Sir,
a female voice said as she strode over to her commanding officer.
What should we do about the body?
Get the chainsaws out, Barnes sighed. Get the blasted thing chopped up so we can carry it outside the gates. Start with the neck first, and have a man stationed there to make sure nobody slips in during the chaos.
Yes, sir,
the soldier said, though she looked less than delighted with her orders.
And, what about Nichols?
Clean up the remains of the man, Barnes said. Poor bastard. See if you can get in touch with his family.
Sir.
The woman nodded, and then marched away.
Let's go, before another one of those bloody tears in the universe opens up.
The army officials sped off toward the back of the airbase, and we followed quickly behind him. The tail of the fallen dinosaur was almost as long as the black building, and I was not envious of whoever would get the task of cutting it up. When we reached the hut at the back of the runway, we dismounted from our motorbikes right by the door. Barnes swiped his security card on the door, and a moment later, there was a buzz from the intercom.
"This way," Barnes said as he opened the door.
"We're finally here,"
Haywan whispered as we stepped inside.
"I can't believe we made it."
"I can," I said, as Barnes led us through a blank, dimly lit corridor. "A badass team like us? There's no way we wouldn't make it. We'll be at Ravenscar before you know it." We reached a steel doorway where two armed guards were on duty. Both sentries looked like they could crush a man with a single hand, and I felt their eyes sweep over us. They didn't speak, but they saluted Barnes as they stepped to the side. Barnes used his keycard again and pushed the heavy door open before he beckoned us to join him. I stepped past the armed soldiers and into the office of the commanding officer. The room was huge, with maps, folders, and notes pinned to every inch of the wall. In the center of the room was a large wooden desk covered in more papers and half-finished cups of coffee. A man sat behind the desk, and I put his age somewhere in his 50s. He looked a bit like an action figure brought to life with black hair shaved down short, dark sullen eyes, and a body that looked like he had lived in the gym his whole life. His uniform was adorned with medals, but there were purple bags under his eyes and stubble on his cheeks. Even the sturdiest of soldiers was finding this campaign difficult.
"Barnes," the man said, as he rose from his chair and came out to greet us. "And you must be the trio from Cambridge."
"Sir," Barnes said with a salute and nod. "This is Jason, Haywan, and Becca. Sir, Jason here is the reason we got those creatures out of the base with minimal damage. A couple of aircraft have taken a beating, but mostly everything is intact."
"Any damage to the fence?" the commander asked.
"No, sir. The gate appears to be fine, too. And the men are currently chopping up the creature so we can move it and reseal the gate."
"Ah," the superior officer replied. "A delightful task, I'm sure."
"We lost another man," Barnes said. "A good one, too. That's the second this week, sir."
"I see," the commander sighed. Then he turned to me and the girls.
"I'm Julian Bly, commanding officer as of yesterday."
"Sorry to hear about your predecessor," I said. "I guess none of us are really safe from the dinosaurs."
"Not yet," Bly said grimly.
"I hear you bring word from Walston."
"He gave us this,"
Becca said as she held up the briefcase.
"We were told there's top-secret information inside. Maybe something that can help put a stop to all this."
"And why did he give it to you?" Bly asked. "Are you military?"
No, I said, as the CO's eyes glanced over our slightly bashed armor and stained rigs. "We're, students from Cambridge."
"I see," Bly said.
"And how, exactly, did you all become such experts in the battle against these prehistoric creatures?"
"We're just sort of winging it," I shrugged. "We've run into a lot of different dinos, and we've managed to come out alive each time. I think we just have a lot of determination and we'll make a pretty good team."
"Well, I can only commend your bravery," Bly said. "All the way from Peterborough, and you all made it here in one piece. You have my utmost gratitude."
"Here you go,"
Becca said, as she stepped forward and offered the briefcase.
"I'm just glad we finally have it in the right hands."
Bly took the briefcase and held it tightly as he nodded his thanks. We waited a second, but it was clear he wasn't going to open it in front of us. I just hoped there wasn't a way to tell we had already opened the lock and seen what was inside.
"You'll forgive me for not opening it in your presence," Bly said, clearly sensing our anticipation.
"Is it really going to help?" I asked. "Whatever it is that's in there?"
"I hope it does," the commanding officer replied. "We've set up some rather haphazard labs around the base, but we've got some of the smartest scientists from the government here. I'm very much hoping that giving them this briefcase will speed along their research."
"We were wondering if we could maybe get some ammo," I asked. "I know you guys need everything you can get, but a few more bullets for when we hit the road again could save our lives."
"That can be arranged," Bly nodded. "You risked your lives to deliver this to me, so I think we can repay you with some ammunition."
The girls grinned and looked proud of themselves at the RAF officer's words. I couldn't help but smile, too.
After all the dangers and near-death moments, it felt good to be thanked and appreciated.
"I would like to thank you by offering you a trip back to Peterborough," Bly said. "My men can get you back there, and I reckon I'll be traveling over myself at some point. We can take you by air."
That's really generous, but we're going to Ravenscar. We can't go back."
"Ravenscar?" Bly asked with a frown.
"What's in Ravenscar?"
"My mum,"
Becca replied.
"Ah," Bly said, as he placed the briefcase down on the table. "That is a very valid reason to go there, then. But I really do wish you would take me up on my offer. You've taken on a mission that could save mankind."
"We're a team," I said. "We need to get to Becca's mom. She would do the same for us if our parents weren't an ocean away."
"Understood," Bly nodded. "Then at least let me offer you accommodations for the night. It's the least I can do."
"I really think we need to get going," I said with a glance to the girls. "We're honored to have delivered the briefcase, but it's taken a pretty big chunk of our time, and we need to get to Becca's mom as soon as we can."
"We have power here," Bly said. "You could charge your phones, get a hot meal, and a good night's rest before you venture off again."
"What do you think?" I asked the girls. "It's up to you, Becca. Would you feel more comfortable if we just headed back on the road?"
"I think we should stay,"
the blonde replied.
"Who knows when we'll next get the offer of a hot meal? I do want to get to my mum, but if we're tired and hungry, we won't be much use out there."
"All right, then," I said. "I guess we're staying the night."